He said there appeared a man to him, and the man said, come over into Macedonia and help us. Maybe that vision there, maybe that man that he sees might be the Philippian jailer that we're going to read about here in just a minute. You see, there are people out there who want to hear things. They don't seem to be very many, but there are some that if we'll talk to them, they want to hear the gospel. So this man right here, he's the Philippian jailer. He said, come on over into Macedonia and help us. He's talking to Paul there. Reading a little bit more in verse number 11, going down to verse number 23, same chapter, verse number 23. Here's Paul and Silas, and they go there, and they got in trouble, and they got put in jail. So here they are in jail in verse number 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks. Here's Paul and Silas. They've done nothing. And here they are in prison, and now they're being put in the stocks. They've been beaten, and they're bloodied. It says in verse number 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So you see, here they are. They've been beaten, bloody, and they're away from home, their family, all of that kind of stuff. They've been put in jail. They've been accused of being troublemakers. Now then, at midnight, the Bible says they're singing and praising God. And the Bible says the prisoners heard them. And verse number 26 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. So there's a great earthquake. The doors flew open. People's bands come off. And people walk out the doors. Verse number 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled, because he knew that if he lets those prisoners go, that they're going to take his life. So he's getting ready to take his own life if those prisoners are gone. He's going to do himself in. But Paul, it says in verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. You see, this man, maybe he had heard Paul and Silas preaching. Maybe he had heard them singing. Or maybe he had heard something somewhere. In verse number 30, and he brought them out and said, sirs, here's one of the greatest verses of the Bible. Said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? In verse number 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. In verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. So there's where the church at Philippi was founded, right there, started with this man. And maybe the others, another woman over there got saved. Her name was Lydia. But you see, wherever Paul went on his missionary journeys, he preached and he had all kinds of trouble. You know, a lot of people think that if they have troubles and trials and tribulations, that maybe they're not in the will of God. But here's Paul. He hadn't done anything wrong. He gets thrown in jail and they're put in the stocks. Looks like there's no hope for him. But all of a sudden, there's a great earthquake and God gets him out of there, you see. So just because you have trials and tribulations and troubles doesn't always mean that you're not in the will of God. And so Paul is a missionary. He's a missionary. Ever since the cross of Jesus Christ and the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel, as it says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18, go ye into all the world and go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So ever since the cross, that Jesus suffered on the cross and was buried and raised from the dead and given the command to go and preach the gospel, there have been some people who would give up all of their plans, all of their dreams for themselves. And they would go to a place where the gospel was not preached. There have been a few people who would do that. There's a missionary by the name of David Livingston quite a while back. He was a preacher and a medical missionary. He went to Africa on one verse. And that verse was Matthew 28, 18, which says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth." He went to Africa on that one verse, and he kept that one verse. He said this, David Livingston said, God had only one son, and he was a missionary. He sent him to the earth to bear our sins in his own body. He was an Englishman, and he said of Africa, he went to Africa where no white man had ever been, at least. He went to Africa, and he said this, there are thousands and thousands of villages in Africa where no man has ever gone and no man has ever preached. And he wanted to go to those places, and he did. He spent 32 years in Africa. He died in 1873. He was an explorer, and he made maps of places where no man outside of Africa had ever been. His life was filled with hardships, harsh elements, weather, malaria, wild animals. He was mauled by a lion, all kinds of other things. He had to leave his family for long periods of time. And just about the time that things got right in his life where he could have his wife to go with him on his missionary travels in Africa, his wife died. His wife died. I think he married again. He spent 32 years in Africa. I read a story, and it just now comes to my mind about David Livingston, how that he went back to England to preach. And he went to this college, university, or something like that. And you know, he had been mauled by a lion, and his arm hung limp like this. He went to this university to talk to them about missions. And as he went there was another speaker there. And when the other speaker spoke, you know, the people just clapped, and that was nice and everything. But when David Livingston, God's missionary, came to the platform, and they saw this missionary, he's all weather-beaten, and his arm was hanging limp. He's getting on up in years. When they saw him, they didn't clap. They all stood up out of respect for God's missionary. David Livingston died on his knees in Africa, and I suppose that this is a true story. Died on his knees in Africa, praying for Africa. The Africans cut his heart out, and they buried his heart in Africa. And then a group of men took his body back to England to bury it. And so, that's one missionary. There's a few people like that. Not very many. You see, back there in the 1800s, that's what is called in the Bible the Philadelphia Church Age, where the doors for the gospel swung open all across the world. See, there are seven churches. There are seven churches in the book of Revelation, and the sixth church is the Church of Philadelphia. The word Philadelphia means brotherly love. And the Bible says about that church, there's something good and bad said about most of those churches. But about the church at Philadelphia, there's nothing bad said about it. And it is said of that church, the Church of Philadelphia, by the way, that those seven churches represent the church age down through history, the New Testament. And it is said about the Church of Philadelphia, there's nothing bad said about it. It is the church of the open door. And that is the age there, from about 1500 to 1900, about 400 years, for great missionary movements all over the world. God opened up the doors to many countries all over the world for missionaries to go. And men began to surrender to go to the mission field, go there. Hudson Taylor went to China, and he founded what is called the China Inland Mission. And see, there's some people who will go. And here's the thing, folks. If God doesn't call us to go, if he doesn't call you to go, and you're not going to go, then we are supposed to help others to go. We're supposed to help others to go. We're supposed to help them by prayer. We're supposed to help them by financially so that they can go. So they can go. Somebody has to stay here and stay by the stuff. You see, I'm going to show you that in the Bible. Somebody's got to stay here and hold down the fort. You see, well, that's us if we're not going to go. I wouldn't mind going. I'd like to go. I have a heart for different peoples. I have a heart for, I've often thought that it would be good for somebody to surrender to go. I mean, not me necessarily, but somebody to go to the black population. That's what they need. I'm talking about the cities, the inner cities. They need missionaries to go there. I've preached on Navajo reservations, and I love that. I loved, whenever I went to Mexico, I loved that, you see. And so somebody's got to go, but somebody's got to stay. Somebody's got to raise the money. Somebody's got to get the money. Somebody's got to give the money so that they can go. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. And I'm going to start reading in verse number 18. Here's a story about David is running from King Saul. And while he's out fighting, he's staying at a place called Ziklag. The Amalekites come and they kidnapped his wives and all of his men's wives. They kidnapped them and took off. And David prayed and then he went out after them. He went out after the Amalekites. He has an army of 600 men. He has an army of 600 men, but some of his men, they've been out fighting, and some of his men are so weak and so tired and so weary that they can't go another step. And so he leaves 200 men there. They stay by a brook there, a little river, I think it's called Besor or something like that. They stay there, and he takes 400 men with him. And he takes them and he goes to get these wives back. And that's what it's talking about here when we're reading. It says in verse 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. So see, he went out with 400 men. He left 200 back there, and he took 400 of his soldiers, and he took them, and they went out, and they recovered all. They recovered their wives and everything that they had stolen, and they brought back extra stuff with them. And it says in verse number 20, and David took all the flocks and the herds, which they had, all the flocks which they drove before those other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. So he took extra stuff. And David came to the 200 men that were so faint that they could not follow David. When they had made also to abide at the brook Besor, and they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. So see, they come back and they've got all this spoil. They've got all this stuff from the battle. And there's some of the men that David has, and they said, well, these people, they didn't go to battle with us. There's 200 of them there stayed back. They didn't go out in the battle. They didn't go out in the battle. He said, so we're not going to give them anything. We're not going to give them any of the spoil that we're bringing back. And here's what David said in verse 23. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hands. Verse 24, for who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. He said, we're coming back and we've got the spoil. And some of the men said, no, we're not giving these people any. They didn't go with us out to the battle. And David said this. He said, no, we're going to divide it up equally. Everybody gets to share in the spoils. He said, the people that stayed here and they stayed by the stuff. They stayed and watched stuff. They stayed here waiting for us. And they supported us while we're out doing the battle. They get to share in the spoils. You know what that teaches us, folks? That teaches us that if you don't go, if somebody doesn't go, then if they will support those people that are out there, if we'll support the missionaries that are out there preaching the gospel, then we get to share in their reward whenever we get to heaven, you see. Our part is to support them. Our part is to hold the ropes. They're out there on the front line, see. They're out there doing, they're out there. They've left their home. They've left all kinds of things. And it's our part. It's our job to support them and to help them while they're out there. We're here. We're staying by the stuff. We're holding the ropes. We're praying for them. We're giving some money. Some are. And that's our job. And we get part of their reward whenever they stand before the Lord and the souls that they've won and things like that, you see. So our part is to stay by the stuff, to watch it, and stay by the stuff. Here's some reasons why we ought to give and to send out missionaries. Number one, we should give and send out missionaries because people are lost. They're lost without Jesus Christ. They have to hear. People have to hear the gospel. They have to know that Jesus Christ died for them in order for them to be saved. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But then the next verse says this, "How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear? How are they going to understand unless someone talks to them? Someone tells them. Someone preaches to them. How are they going to do that? How are they going to hear? How are they going to be saved?" You see. And then verse number 15 says, "And how shall they preach? How shall they preach except they be sent?" God would call people. God would call people if people would be willing to go. If people will go, you see. "How shall they preach except they be sent?" Atheists, Buddhists, the heathen, the Hindus, the Muslims, and lots of Americans do not get to go to heaven unless they repent of their unbelief, you see. If they went to heaven without being saved, then there would be no need for us to send missionaries. There'd be no need for that. But they are not saved. They must hear the gospel. They must hear the gospel in God, that they must hear that God has provided a way for them to be saved. And so that they can live forever in heaven. Someone has died for their sins on the cross, and they must hear that. Because people are lost. You can go out here and go up and down the streets of Portales. You can go up and down the streets of Portales right here in the United States of America. You know, we've got churches all over the place, but I don't know, some churches you could go and you could spend a long time in and you'd never figure out how to be saved. Never find out how to be saved, you see. There's people up and down the streets here, they have no fear of God. They have no fear of God. You can go out here this morning while we're having church and there's people everywhere, you see. People everywhere, I don't know, probably a small portion of people in Portales and in all towns across the United States go to church. You don't have to go to church to be saved. You don't have to go to church to be saved, but it's a good thing to go to church. If you go to a church, you know, where you can hear something, you see. But everywhere you go, people are doing other things other than worshiping God or singing to God or praising God or hearing anything. There's lost people everywhere. They may think they're a Christian just because they're born in America. They're born in America, and they believe that there's a God and all that kinds of stuff, you see. But America is full of lost people right here. Churches on every corner. All kinds of things that call themselves churches. But you may not be able to ever hear how to be saved in some of those churches. There's churches right here in this town. You don't have to be saved to be a member. You don't have to be saved to be a member of anything. Just believe in God or something like that, and that's okay, you know. Don't have to. People are lost. People are lost. They're unsaved, and they have to be saved. I would love to go somewhere, man. I would really love to go somewhere. I've heard, in the Philippines, you can go downtown in the Philippines and pass out tracts, and people will line up to get a tract. You know what they do here? They don't pay much attention to a tract. They're not too interested in tract because they've heard all kinds of things, you see. They've heard all kinds of things. And so people are not too interested. See, whenever people come to church, you see, a lot of times in church, they're not too interested either. But, man, I'd love to go somewhere where people wanted to hear, you know, and they just whenever I went to Mexico, you know, you preach for an hour and they think nothing of it. They don't think nothing of it. They're ready for you to preach a little bit more, see. And, man, I like that. That's good. So people are lost and they need to hear the gospel. And how are they going to hear? How are they going to hear unless somebody tells them? How are they going to preach? God's got to send people. You see, whenever you raise up your kids, you ought to raise them up to learn how to work, to know how to work, and to be faithful in church. Maybe God wants them to be preachers. Maybe God wants them to be missionaries. But if you raise up your kids and they don't know how to work, if God called them, well, they probably wouldn't do anything anyway. You see, if all they learn how to do is sit around with a little old gadget and fool around with that, you see, and that's what they spend all of their time on. God wanted them to be preachers or missionaries or anything. Well, they wouldn't be any good. You got to raise up your kids so they'll know how to work. So they'll be honest, hardworking, learn how to sweat, you know. Get them outside. Give them something to do. I used to make up things for my kids to do. I made them learn how to change the oil in the pickup. Learn mow the grass. Do all kinds of stuff, you see. Make them learn how to be good, hardworking men and women, see. So that if God wants to call them, then God's got something to work with when He calls them, see. Otherwise, they, you know, you wouldn't want a lazy missionary. Wouldn't want a lazy missionary. You wouldn't want a lazy preacher, something like that, you see. So people are lost and they need to hear about Jesus Christ. Number two, why should we send out missionaries and give to missionaries? Because we are supposed to care for the souls of men. You and I, we are supposed to care for the souls of men. The Bible says in Mark 8:36, Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" No matter what else a man gained, if he could gain the whole world, as a matter of fact, he couldn't keep it. But if he could gain the whole world and he lost his soul, it wouldn't be worth it. A man is going to live on this earth. If he lived to be 100 years old, that's pretty good. But brother, eternity is forever. He goes to hell, then his gold and silver doesn't matter at all. It's not anything. No matter what he's gained, if he lost his soul, it wouldn't matter. He would be in hell forever. Wouldn't that be terrible to live on this earth and go through all the troubles, the trials, the tribulations, and then die and go to somewhere worse than this earth? Die and go to hell? That's what's going to happen to a lot of people. They've had all kinds of troubles. They've had all kinds of trials, tribulations. They're going to die and go to a place that's worse. They're going to go to a place that is worse than this, you see. They must hear the gospel. Who is going to care if the church doesn't? If we don't care, who's going to care? You think Walmart's going to care? You think Walgreens going to care? You think Sears is going to care? What's that coffee place? What is that coffee place? What? Starbucks. You couldn't pay me to go in there. Starbucks. I never could figure out why in the world does anybody want to go and pay $10 for a cup of coffee. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Man, I wouldn't go in that place. You know what they said? They said, if you believe in traditional marriage, we don't want your business. That's what kind of people they are. You think they care? Does Microsoft care? Does Sprint? Does Verizon? They've got all the money, but no, they are not going to care. You and I, we are supposed to care for the souls of men. We are supposed to care for them. We are to love them. We've got Brother Venegas over here in Nogales, Mexico. Him and a large group of people, they go out every week. They go to these large apartment complexes and they knock on the doors, go door to door. And they take a Bible in their hand and people come up with the Bible open. People will come up and look in the Bible because maybe a lot of them haven't seen them, haven't seen a Bible. But kids will come up and look at the Bible. They want to see it. And they'll stand there and witness to them at the doors on these large apartment complexes. And these people will have in these apartment complexes down the road half a mile this way, apartment complexes, small. You go inside, it's a little bitty small room, little bitty room, you see. And it'll have a couple of bedrooms back there. That's in Nogales, Mexico, over on the Spanish side. They've got Spanish side and they've got American side. And people will want to look at the Bible. And they'll go and they'll witness to them. And down at the end of the street, these people will have these big boom boxes. And they'll be blaring out. I mean, you can hear it for a half a mile away. You can hear this stuff. I guess you call it mariachi music. They're blasting that stuff all over the place, you see, as if everybody wants to hear it. I don't know if they do or not. But man, I'll tell you what, it's going. Brother Venegas took me up on the side of a hill overlooking Nogales, and he said, I want you to pray for the souls in Nogales, which I did. He said, every preacher that comes over, he takes them up there. He wants you to pray for the souls in Nogales for people to be saved. There was a missionary by the name of Adoniram Judson. Adoniram Judson, he's born in 1788 and he died in 1850. He went to a place called Providence College, which is now called Brown University. He was the first missionary to go to Burma. The first missionary. There were no Christians there whenever he went there. First missionary, there were no, he married his wife, I believe her name was Anne, and 7 days after they got married, they sailed for India. Whenever they got to India, you know, back then it would take you 2 or 3 weeks to get across. Whenever they got to India, they couldn't get in. And so after he found out they would not let him come into India, he went to Burma. He went to another place. Today, that place is called Miramar or something like that. So he went there. His wife died later on. He married again. His second wife died. One of his babies died. Another one was born dead. He never left. He stayed there for 40 years. His second wife, they had 8 children. 5 of them survived, but he never left. He stayed there, Adoniram Judson. So he cared for the souls. After 6 years, he had one convert. One convert after 6 years. After 10 years, he had 18 converts. Today, there are 3 or 4 million Christians in Burma, mostly because of Adoniram Judson, you see. We must care for the souls of men. We must care. Number 3, we should send out missionaries, because it's the Bible way and we have Bible examples. Jesus was a missionary. He came to earth from heaven. Paul the apostle was a missionary. Most of the apostles died somewhere preaching the gospel. The Bible commands us in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8 says, but ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Folks, do you help with missions? You know what? Most people, a lot of people, I wouldn't, but a lot of people, they go to a restaurant. It wouldn't bother them a bit to spend $100. Not only would they spend $100, but they would throw in a tip on it. But if you ask them to give something for missions, we can't afford that, you know. Give $100 for missions? Oh, no, you know, we can't afford that. We can't afford that. But see, we've all got cable, we've all got cable or whatever, satellite. We've all got that. We've all got 2 or 3 cars. And this week we're going to send money to missionaries. We're going to give them $100 apiece. That's not very much. I wish we'd give them $200. But that's what we're going to give them this week. And so the Bible commands us to care for the souls of men. And so I wonder, what is your thinking about that? You see, are you helping? You're helping. Here's the thing, folks. These missionaries that I've mentioned, you and I, you're saved here tonight. We're going to see them in heaven. Boy, when I see David Livingston, I'm probably going to crawl under a table. When I see Adoniram Judson, I might crawl under a table. When I see John Patton, who went to the New Hebrides, something like that, islands, I may want to hide my head and crawl under a table, you see. People like that. But we're supposed to care and for the souls of men, not only over there, but over here. So we all ought to help to send out the missionaries that we support. We can't support them all, but we can support some. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we thank you today, God, for the privilege of being your servants. We pray that you'd help us to be a blessing to others. God, we pray that you'll bless all of our missionaries in Mexico, missionaries in the Philippines, Belgium, Moldova, Peru, Kenya, Haiti, Australia, Brazil, Zambia, and other places. God, we have other missionaries out there, Lord, missionary projects. God, we pray that you'd help us to support them, and we pray for all of our people, God, that you'll move upon their hearts and help everyone to take part in sending out the missionaries. Ask your blessing upon it in Jesus' name. We'll go ahead and